Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and tonight's program is going to spotlight the life and music of iconic Chicago bluesman Muddy Waters. Live in the studio with me is Muddy's son, Joseph Morganfield, himself very involved in today's Chicago blues scene. In fact, he was honored this past weekend. We'll talk about that. And Joseph's handpicked some personal favorites from the Muddy catalog to play. We'll discuss his father's legacy, and we'll give listeners a peek behind the man who was behind the music. Muddy Waters in the spotlight as we give you a legacy show tonight on Midwest Beat. Stay with us. It's up after the headlines. I'm Tom Lounges. Welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. Tonight, we are going to blues it up. Yes, indeed we are. As we put in the spotlight, the late, great, iconic Chicago bluesman, Muddy Waters. We're shining a spotlight on the life and music. We're going to look at the legacy of this great man who has left so many classic blues songs in his wake and inspired so many people. And helping us to get behind the man and the music is Muddy's son, Joseph Morganfield, himself very involved with today's Chicago blues scene. He was just honored this past weekend over at Buddy Guy's. We'll tell you why and what that was all about in just a few. And he's going to pick some great Muddy songs to play. But right now, let's shine a spotlight and let the music do the talking on this mannish boy who grew up to be a king bee and who always had his mojo working. Yes, indeed, he did. And right now, he is the Hoochie Coochie Man. Watch out!
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming. He gonna be a son of a gun. He gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what it's all about, but you know I'm here. Everybody knows I'm here. Well, you know the Hoochie Coochie Man. Everybody knows. I got a black cat bone, I got a mojo too, I got a John the Conqueror, I got to mess with you, I'm gonna make you girls lead me by my hand, then the world will know I'm a Hoochie Coochie Man, but you know I'm here. On the 7 hours, on the 7 days, on the 7 month, the 7 doctors say he was born for good luck, and that you see, I got $700. Don't you mess with me, but you know.
He's a Hoochie Coochie Man. With me right now, Joseph Morganfield. He is the son of Muddy Waters. Joseph, welcome.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
You have quite a legacy, you and your family, your siblings, that I want to get into and talk about. Your dad left his fingerprints everywhere in the music scene, not just the blues, and has inspired some of the biggest superstars on earth. And you yourself have carried on that legacy. We're going to talk about all of your brothers and sisters and the family members in just a bit. But you yourself were honored this past Sunday at Buddy Guy's Legends. You were inducted into the Chicago Blues Hall of Fame.
What was that like for you?
That was so exciting. Actually, that was my second induction. The first one was as an ambassador.
Okay.
But this one was more special. I think the first one was because of who my dad was. So I kind of skated on his coattail.
Okay.
But this one, I got inducted as a supporter and promoter. So meaning that I'm just sharing the blues, promoting the blues. It was quite an honor to be inducted. So
When they say promoter, do you actually promote concerts as well, or do you promote the spirit of Chicago
blues? The spirit
blues?
Of Chicago. Eventually, I hope to get there.
Okay.
But as far as not just the spirit itself, though, and my dad's music, and not just my dad, though, blues in general.
Now, what's it like growing up the son of Muddy Waters? And I guess I could share that question with your siblings as well. That's a heavy name to carry around.
Huge. He got some big shoes to fill on that one. As a kid, though, he just wasn't Muddy. He wasn't the performer. He was just dad at home. I had chores.
Mm-hmm.
I had to, in the winter, shovel the snow, rake the grass, take the garbage out. And there was consequences if that wasn't done.
Okay, so he was strict.
Oh, yes. No, he's a country guy, and he was strict, and he was disciplined. We had to respect the elders. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. But it was just dad. I didn't see him. I didn't really acknowledge his fame until I got a little older.
Okay.
Yeah, but as a kid, no. He was just dad.
About what age did you realize dad wasn't just the average dad?
I would say maybe 7th, 8th grade then.
Okay.
Yeah, it started to sink in a little bit.
Did the kids like, hey, you know who your dad is? Was it a situation like that? Or, I mean, hey, do you know the Rolling Stones came by yesterday?
We had a visitor. Eric Clapton came to the house.
Wow.
And I think the song, I Shot the Sheriff, was out or just was pretty popular. And it was just such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who? Eric Clapton? And then I heard this guy's song on the radio so many times. I was like, well, he's at my house. Reminds me of another story. Just the girl I tried to date at the time wouldn't give me the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, she just happened to be in the neighborhood when Eric was there.
Oh. Hey, but, Joseph, remember me? Still want that date?
I think she reconsidered.
Wow. That's funny.
That's when they realized that it was pretty special, yeah. He was pretty huge.
Now, did he encourage you guys to follow in his footsteps in music?
Yes, he did. Well, actually, he was training me. I was actually in training with a guitar. I had a guitar in my hand since birth. Either he would teach me or one of his band members, Bob Magoli, would work with me.
Okay.
But that was the plan for me to be a musician.
Now, your brother, Bill, has carried on.
Bill is representing my family. He's doing a wonderful job.
He's been playing a long time.
Long time, yeah. I got two brothers. And Mud, his real name is Larry, but he go by Mud, Morgan, Phil.
Okay.
Both of those are my brothers, and both of them are representing the family, my father's legacy. Just connects anymore for what they both are doing.
Are they still based in Chicago, or have they gone on to other cities?
Mud is from Chicago. He grew up on the west side of Chicago. So he's from here originally. Big Bill grew up in Atlanta, so okay. He was born and bred that way.
Now, is he still playing Chicago-style blues? Or
yes.
Or has he been... Influenced.
He's been influenced, okay. But I think he's trying to do his own thing. Actually, he'll be in Chicago in February at Buddy Guy's.
Of course.
Send that shout out.
Now, they're putting records and stuff out, too.
That is correct.
Now, what labels are they on? Do you know offhand?
I want to say Mud's with Alligator.
Okay.
Yeah, but Big Bill has his own label and does his own producing. He's his own man, Big Bill. He does everything himself. So.
Wow. Now, you had to be junior high school age, I'm thinking, when around 1980 to 83, 84, when your dad passed, right before that, he really resurrected his career working with Johnny Winter.
It's hard again.
Yeah, and I had a good fortune of meeting him and booking him at a show at a club I was working at. And even sick and even in his elderly years, he still put on one heck of a show. He was so passionate. You could tell he was happy that people were paying attention again.
Exactly.
And Johnny Winter, God bless his soul, gave us Muddy back in many ways, and gave that back to Muddy. Yeah, he was exactly. At the top of his game when he passed.
That is correct. He went through a little downfall at the time. Wasn't as popular. The gigs wasn't as many as usual. But that Hard Again album brought him back on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember him making it. He was excited about it. Loved the title.
Right.
Appropriate. But yeah, my dad passed away in 83. I was actually a senior in high school.
I remember the last time he was supposed to play at our club, he took ill. And that's when Willie Dixon Trio filled in.
Okay.
Willie, you know, they were so close. They were like family as well. And Willie got up, and I remember he did like a, it was almost like a testimonial, and had everybody send their positive energies and their prayers to Muddy. You know, he's going to get better. We're going to have him back on this stage. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. But I remember thinking, what a great connection these two giants of the blues
Incredible.
Had.
Yeah, most of Dad's song was wrote by Willie Dixon, mm-hmm. as you know.
And Willie produced the Chess stuff, didn't
he? That is correct, yes. Okay. Yeah. That friendship was like lifelong. They came up, both from Mississippi, mm-hmm. both met in Chicago, and I think Willie Dixon played a major part in my dad's coming into himself, revolving him into Muddy Waters mm-hmm. during those years. Yeah, it's like you can't mention Muddy without mentioning Willie Dixon.
Right.
It's like it's all connected. That is correct.
Wow. We've picked some songs. We're going to go back. This is a classic one, and there's a story behind it. You've picked She's 19 Years Old, and that's one of my favorites on this anthology. And when you said you're going to play that, I'm like, yes. But there's a story behind it. Let's talk a bit about that.
Okay, 19 Years Old. If the story is, and the story goes, most of my dad's children, their moms, my mom in particular, was 19 when I was conceived.
Okay.
And I think that goes for all of my other siblings. So that
song.
So
he had a thing about 19.
19 year olds. So everyone was thinking that song was wrote for their mom, but it was like all of our moms, I think.
Well, that's pretty cool. Let's play it now. We'll send it out to all the 19-year-old moms out there within earshot of this song in dedication of Buddy.
Satisfied.
Watch out, all you 19-year-old girls. We've got Muddy Waters' son, who is Joseph Morgan Field. And McKinley Morgan Field was actually Muddy's given name. And he came up from Mississippi looking for work like most of the bluesmen did. And they found it in the mills out here, didn't they?
That is correct. Yeah. I think my dad was a truck driver at one time, a DJ. Before.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
Okay. I knew Coco had done some DJ work.
He told me one story that people would call in and tell him to stop talking during the record.
I've been told that a few times in the old days. Yes, indeed.
Well, he definitely did that.
Wow. You had mentioned you grew up with a guitar in your hand. Your brothers have gone on to make records and do things. Did you just not feel it? Do you play for yourself? Do you ever get up
actually,
on stage?
Actually, I got distracted. I ended up playing, got into sports.
Okay.
I thought
you were going to say girls, but.
No. It was more sports. For me, I ended up getting a basketball scholarship.
Okay.
But instead of practicing my guitar, I was practicing with the basketball. So, you know, for what it's worth, I did get a scholarship to Iowa, but I didn't pick up the music.
Okay.
No. But like I said, we're still covered with both of my brothers, though.
Now, you know, it's never too late to pick up a guitar and learn.
Maybe, but I think my calling now is more in the rear with the gear. I'll leave the performance to my brothers.
We were talking off air, and a couple of years ago, there was a big to-do. It was all over the news about the family home. It had gotten into disrepair, and the family wanted to keep the legacy alive and keep the home safe. And what's going on with that?
Actually, what happened, my dad's great-granddaughter, her name is Chandra, she actually bought the house from the estate. And during that process, you know, she kept the house for a while, and we thought it was in good hands, of course. But when it was a surprise to my entire family when we saw it with the news articles and that type of disarray. But I think it was like almost going into foreclosure.
Wow.
Yeah. But we're trying to work it out where hopefully she can sell the house back to the estate so we can maintain the house. That house is like history there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being at that home, they used to rehearse in the basement. So many famous musicians been in and out.
Is that the one Clapton came to?
Yeah. No, he came to the one in Westmont.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is before Clapton, when like Junior Wells or Little Walters and all those guys. That's where they started at, right there on 43rd Street.
So if that basement walls could talk.
It could talk, yeah. It has some interesting stories. Jimmy Rogers, Little Walters, Otis Spann, all those guys come out of that basement.
Wow. Has it been fixed up since then?
A little bit. Yes, it has. I was probably there like 2 months ago to look at it. And it's not as bad as what they depicted. There's definitely work to be done, but our main goal is to save it, though.
Okay. Yeah. What's the end game on that? We were talking about maybe turning it into a museum or something. You said it might not be the best thing for it. What would you like to see happen to that house?
I would like to keep the house because it's in the Bronzeville area, and they are cleaning up that area. But as we speak today, I wouldn't put a museum there now, no.
Okay.
I would wait, but just to have it and to see what else the Chicago does with that area.
It's like to make it a historical building.
Exactly.
To save it.
That I could see a historical building, more so than a museum.
And then you can get government grants to help keep it up, and the city and the county and everybody's involved. Like in Marion and in Fairmount, where James Dean's from, they have a lot of these historical things. And
okay.
You know,
yeah.
Tupelo, they've got the house Elvis was born in. And, I mean, it's immaculate now. And it was run down as well.
Was it really?
Yeah, it went through a couple of different hands over the years. And they fixed it up, replicated what it looked like back in the day. And it would be so cool to see Muddy's house like that.
That would be
can
really
can you imagine if maybe they turned it into some kind of music school? Maybe, for the kids in the neighborhood.
Sure.
And you could get the next generation of John Lee Hookers and Otis Spanns in the basement there, and they could learn to play music. Just the ghosts in there, the vibe, the mojo.
There'd be some good juju in
there. Yeah. That would be so cool.
Definitely.
That's a good house, though. Like I said, most of my years was in the house in Westmont, though. I wasn't in the house too long.
Mm-hmm.
Probably maybe 2 years before we moved to Westmont.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you are in the process of putting your memories together on paper and doing research on your dad and getting a book in the works. Now, what's the game plan? What's the target date?
That is correct. This, I probably had this idea like 3 years ago it came to me. The process or the thought was it's to show the people a Muddy of, they so used to the entertainer, the performer, but I want them to see a Muddy, the father, the kind of man he was at home when he wasn't on the road or on stage performing. I have a partner. Her name is Lynn Overman Weiss. Okay, she's my co-author. She's helping me write this. We've been meeting and just working at it.
How's the family support on it? Are the brothers, the sisters, the aunts and uncles all sharing memories and putting the puzzle pieces back together?
It's a little mix. I guess some topics are a little touchy still. But for the most part, they've been very supportive.
Okay.
Yeah.
When do you anticipate getting something, at least the galleys, done?
Oh, Jesus. Another 6 months, if that. We got like 3 chapters done.
Okay.
With no title yet, no pictures. Still in the beginning stages.
Why is this the right time, you think, for a Muddy Waters book?
I don't know. That's a great question. It just seems right. It's been so long since he's been deceased. It was like we having a change of estates.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems right now. It's like better late than never now.
Okay. Yeah. Are you finding a lot of people coming up, a lot of younger people coming up now and recognizing who Muddy was because of some of the artists that, again, the Stones are out there touring and always talk about Muddy, but they're aging out now.
Exactly.
Now, are there any of the younger groups, a lot of the younger blues artists, perhaps, that are coming up the ranks that are giving a shout out to Muddy and to Willie?
Even at the Chicago Blues Award last night, Hall of Fame Award,
mm-hmm.
most of the artists know and respect my father. It's like you can't mention the blues without my dad's name being somewhere in there. So they all know who he is and respect what he's done. And they show the family respect mm-hmm. and honor. So it's like Muddy's a part of the blues. And not only Muddy, and B.B. King, Johnny Hook, all these guys. And you can't just, you know, if you didn't talk about the blues, his name will be mentioned though, somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah. So being as you go to Buddy Guys, and obviously you know Buddy.
I know Buddy.
has he shared some great stories about working with your dad and growing up through the ranks at Chess Records with your dad?
Not as much as I would have liked.
Okay. He's got to have good stories.
I'm sure he does, yeah. he was young, a young man when he was with my dad, him and Junior Wells. But I would like to hear some of those stories too, Buddy. And
all right, let's play another classic song. Let's go with Mojo, since we're talking about the mojo of Muddy Waters tonight. Is there a story behind this, why you want to hear it?
Mojo working. That was my dad's closing song to all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were kids, sometimes he would call the kids on the stage. So we used to help perform that song, Got My Mojo Working, as kids.
Okay, so you'd all gather up behind him and
stage,
sing?
Yeah.
Did you play tambourines and shakers and all that? No.
Just everyone had a chance on the mic, and I would take the mic and walk away from him.
It's my show now.
Until I get that look.
All right, well, let's get the mojo working here. We'll be back with Joseph Morganfield as we continue to shine a spotlight on the late, great Muddy Waters.
Got my mojo working. Got my mojo.
got his mojo working. And it's still working today because we are talking about Muddy Waters, one of the great Chicago blues, one of the great bluesmen, period. But he helped define the Chicago sound, which is probably the most famous blues sound. You got the West Coast sound, you had a little brass to it, and you got the New York blues, you know, so you had a little jazz touch to it. But Chicago's got the shuffle, Chicago's got Muddy, and most of the great songs that everybody covers were written right here at Chess Records. And then it became Jerram Studios for a while when Willie Dixon was doing Resurrecting That, and that's when I got a chance to work with Willie and go there, and they still have the chess pieces embedded in the wall.
That's correct.
And I think it's great that the older blues players in particular had such friendships and such reverence, as we were talking about Muddy and Willie, that when Willie Dixon, you know, when that whole Led Zeppelin thing happened and he got all the money and things from that he was owed, he started Blues Heaven Foundation.
That is correct. Yeah.
And God bless him for that, because so many musicians, whether they're blues or jazz or rock, and Dan, you can attest to this, you're a jazz drummer, you don't make a lot of money on the road.
Yeah, you definitely don't.
You know, musicians don't get insurance.
No insurance, no money.
We have no golden parachutes, you know. And
No dental plan?
Yeah, no dental plan. When you get up in years, I mean, you don't think about that when you're in the heat of the moment, you're in the clubs and it's happening and everybody loves you and the girls are there and they're all 19 years old and, you know, and you're having a good time. And then you get older and you get slower. Suddenly, those that were dentists or doctors or lawyers have that little nest egg. Musicians just have some great memories and some great music.
Yeah.
And how do you live? You know, what happens if you get sick? Well, thankfully, Willie Dixon came up with the Blues Heaven Foundation. There's some other musical groups that are out there now, Music Cares, that kind of followed the template. But I think he set that bar pretty high with that for the blues musicians. How involved are you, or are you involved in Blues Heaven?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I'm familiar with it. I know Willie's daughter, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. She's very involved in it, but as far as we're concerned, as far as the Morganfield and Muddy Waters side is concerned, we're about to start our own foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe something similar to what they got, but I know very little about the Blues Heaven, though.
Okay.
The idea itself is great, to be able to provide that care for people when they need it, especially musicians who don't usually get that. Mm-hmm. So.
There's so many great blues players out there. You can have these fundraising concerts and just funnel all that money back into this care package. Now, of course, you go to the hospital, I mean, you'd have 10 concerts to pay for one musician that's got cancer.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's ridiculous.
High cost, for sure.
But, you know, the seed is planted. Mm-hmm. And definitely keep us up to speed on your foundation.
I sure will. Yeah, once it launches.
A good friend of the show is Paul Rogers from Bad Company, and he's on the show fairly often. And I just saw him in June when he was here with Joe Walsh. And every time Paul comes to Chicago, he makes a pilgrimage to the old chess studio, and he goes to Blues Heaven, and he recharges his own mojo.
Sure,
you know,
go visit all those classic spots that inspired him.
His last album was recorded down south at Royal Studios, you know, where so many great tracks were done. Al Green and everyone cut songs, but it's great to see these guys recharging, and the spirit's still there. Mm-hmm. That said, you're in the thick of the blues scene, and we've talked with other blues artists. And it seems like so many of the black youth doesn't embrace the blues.
Oh, God, that's been happening since my dad was on the scene.
It's like, oh, that's grandpa's music.
Exactly.
But yet so many white kids are saying, God, this is the best. We see the Johnny Langs, we see the Joe Bonamassas, you know, those kind of guys coming up the ranks. But there's a handful of very talented black artists out there that are embracing the blues, but not as many as you'd think. And does that bother you as a legacy son?
It does. I think if you look back on history, blues originated from slavery, and it developed as it went down. But most of my dad's audience were all black back in the days when he was just starting off. But when I came on the scene back in the 80s, late 70s, I would go to his concert and it was mostly white kids. We would go to university. The majority was white. It just switched. I think what's important is not what color or who's playing, but just keeping the blues alive. If you purple and playing the blues, I would come support it.
Okay.
But you're right. Maybe the black kids are more into hip-hop now, gangster rap. But blues is the foundation of all music. So.
Right.
You got to go back to your roots.
Blues and gospel are the seeds of everything.
They call that like the start of rock and roll?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Muddy had that famous saying.
Blues had a baby.
And they called it rock and roll. That is one of the most famous sayings of all time. And I can't tell you how many times people have said that in this studio. You know, when we talk about the blues.
Sure. That's probably where I heard it
That's probably where you heard it from. Last February, we did a whole series of Black History Month shows. We had Lloyd Price on, and we had the Spaniels on, and we had some of the Soul Stirrers on, and we talked about the roots of gospel and the roots of blues, and the fact that it was music that was born out of pain, born out of blood. Mm-hmm. But it was also music that brought great joy.
Exactly.
And promise and hopefulness. So
it covers every emotion, you know. It could be happy or sad or just what particular mood you're in. Mm-hmm. It could be a blues song. Mostly when your woman's leaving you.
That could be a country song, too.
Yeah,
they shot my dog, got a flat tire, and the old lady left me. Lots and lots of trouble in the blues songs. And we're going to play a song right now that features, again, the late, great Muddy Waters shining a spotlight. You might remember this one. And we'll talk about why Joseph picked it on the other side. This is Trouble No More.
I don't care how long you're gone, I don't care how long you stay, but good kind treatment go bring you home someday. But someday, baby, you ain't gonna trouble for me anymore. You just keep on betting that the dice won't pass.
Songs that's been covered by so many people, but nobody captured it quite like Muddy. Very simple, very basic. Trouble No More. And the blues are all about trouble. And Joseph Morganfield, who is the son of Muddy Waters, is with us as we shine a spotlight on his music and his legacy. And why did you like that song? Why did you pick that song?
That's just for heartaches. Everyone's had the heart broken.
Okay.
And I could always relate to that song.
We were talking earlier in the show, if you just joined us, about the state of Muddy Waters' home when he first came here to the south side of Chicago from the south, from Mississippi, and forged a family home and became the icon he did by working hard, playing music at night, working hard during the day, raising six children.
That's correct.
Wow. And 19-year-old brides. And if you missed that, too bad. Listen to the repeat. But what is the state of the estate? We talked about the house itself, but what is the estate of Muddy Waters Collective music and archives and all the wonderful things that he left behind?
The state of the estate. I don't know if you're familiar with Scott Cameron.
He was the manager.
Yeah, he was the executive of my father's estate.
Okay. I knew he managed him during, well, for sure during the Blue Sky era.
Yes. He was his manager until he was deceased.
I met him when Muddy played it. A club at Point East that I was working at. In fact, Scott asked me to leave my own dressing room. I was bothering his client, and we'll just leave it at that. But I was like, wait a minute.
Well, Scott's no longer with us. He's deceased.
Right. He just recently passed about a year or two
ago. Okay. Almost 2 years ago. But my sister Mercy Morganfield, is in charge of my father's estate now, and she's doing a wonderful job. She's just picking up the pieces, and as a family, as an estate, we're moving forward.
Now, we hear so much with the artists that are out there now and all the rights and the publishing and things that are going on. There's so much litigation in that. With the blues, the trademarks, the copyrights, especially with a lot of the older black artists, they didn't worry about that back then. And they got taken to the cleaners many times.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah, incredible. Actually, Scott was like champion for getting royalties for those old musicians.
Okay.
He took the chess to court and got back a lot of those. They didn't get a lot of money, but they got the rights to the music back.
Okay.
They got the publishing rights back. And
so then if a movie came along and they used a song in there, then the artist would get something.
Yeah, that's
finally.
Correct. Yes, yes.
All right. Because I was always so concerned about that. As I started getting into journalism in the 70s and meeting a lot of the older black artists especially, I'm hearing like, oh, man, you got to have money. And no, we don't have anything, man. We're like, I'm a janitor at the high school. I'm like, what?
Did you see that movie Cadillac Records?
Yes,
that,
I did.
Most of that was true.
You think that was pretty accurate?
Yeah, I can testify it was. My dad had a Cadillac every 6 months, a new one. I never knew why, but seeing that movie, it kind of put one and one together and got to.
So they dazzle you, show you the shiny things, and take all the money to the bank.
And back then, most of the musicians didn't have an education.
Right.
My dad went as far as third grade. So as far as reading those complicated contracts or just didn't have the education, and it was so easy to be taken there. So,
well, thank goodness some of that's changed, and you guys have the rights back to the music now.
That is correct. So it's back to the family.
Is that the same, and maybe you don't know, but when we were talking about the chess family, the Chuck Berrys and the Willie Dixons and all, do all their families now control their music, do you know?
I would think so. I know we control ours now.
Speaking of Chuck Berry, he just turned 90 today.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Happy birthday,
happy
Chuck.
Birthday, Chuck. Right?
A couple years ago, I emceed for him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I guess it would have been about 2010.
Okay.
I emceed for him when he played Porter County.
That's awesome.
And then I went and saw him on New Year's Eve, and he had such a bad time at the Congress Theater.
Was
when he collapsed on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Had a really rough time. I haven't heard much about Chuck in a long time. Is he doing well? Anyone know?
Sounds like they had a little blurb about him on All Things Considered today.
Okay. Connie, you were going to say something?
Dietra posted today that he's put out a new CD.
Has he really?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Do you know the title by chance?
No, she didn't. She didn't say on there.
So is it out?
You know what? It might be. It might say on there. I didn't read the whole thing. I was working at the time, and I'm checking my phone.
I told you we would get Connie on the microphone.
I know. Right? There we go.
See, she has so much to contribute. Now I have to go Google when we get off here and find out, because I want to hear Chuck's new album. I love Chuck.
Can I take this moment to thank Connie?
Sure.
For arranging this, this meeting, the meeting with you guys, and went for Connie, I wouldn't even be here.
Connie Carroll, too.
Thank you, Connie.
Amazing photographer as well.
All those pictures on my Facebook pages. It says, Connie Carroll. Now you know who she is.
And a big supporter of the blues scene.
Definitely.
And she's looking so stylish wearing her Muddy Waters t-shirt. We'll have to get a picture of her and post it on the Facebook
page. I know, we should do that. She's always posting pictures of all of us. We should turn the camera lens around.
We have talked about the legacy of Muddy Waters, the music he made with the Chess family, with Willie Dixon, and the fact that all these years later, was it 30 years now he's gone?
He died in 83.
Do the math.
35
30.
Years.
That's 30 years. 33 years.
Don't look at me for math.
It's a long time. Let's just say that. Yeah. And yet, you know, he's still impacting so many people. You mentioned at Buddy Guy's this weekend when the Blues Hall of Fame was going on for Chicago, a lot of the artists were talking about him.
Exactly.
And who do you see coming up the ranks that you think your dad would say, that kid's got it.
Well, I definitely have to mention my brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could be biased, but...
I've heard Big Bill. I've not heard Mudd.
They both are great in their own rights. They both are great musicians, great vocalists, and I think they're going to make their impact themselves.
Okay.
It's more than Muddy, though. You hear about Bill, he carries his own weight. And Bill would be Bill. So Muddy won't have to open the doors. They can open their own doors. They're that good. Mm-hmm. Who we see? Mike? What's his name?
Mike Wheeler?
Wheeler.
Oh, hardest working man in the blues.
He's really good, though. I like him.
Oh. And he's awesome. Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, he goes international. He's okay. All over the place. Yeah.
So have your brothers had a hard time bearing the legacy name? And I ask that because I used to work at a blues club in Highland, and we used to book Lonnie Brooks all the time. And I know Ronnie Baker and Wayne Brooks, they were always there. And for a while, it seemed like they were having a hard time getting out of their dad's shadow. Now, of course, they are huge. They're large and in charge of their own careers.
Exactly.
Did your brothers have that same?
I think at first they did. Everyone would look to him and just put Muddy on him, Muddy stamp on him.
How could you not? I mean, that's the shadow of someone like Muddy Waters trying to do that yourself. Difficult.
It was. But I think some years, especially with Bill, that he made his own way through it. He's his own. He does his own music, his own songs. And he's just a great musician.
Last February, when we were talking about the Black History shows, if you remember, we had the Daughters of R&B on. And we had Ray Charles' daughter. And we had Diana Ross's daughter. Mm-hmm. And we had...
And then there was one more.
There was one more.
Diana Ross.
Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke.
That's what it is.
Wow.
My gosh.
They were in the same place. Now, Sam Cooke's daughter said that she embraces her dad's legacy and sings his songs and you know, carries on that. Whereas Diana Ross said for years she wouldn't, the daughter wouldn't go on and sing any of her mom's songs. As much as she loved them, as close as she was with her mom, she goes, I had to separate myself.
Okay.
So at some point, I guess that is, you have to make that call. Am I going to be a tribute to my parent, or am I going to stand on my own 2 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And your brothers both do their own thing now.
One of them does. Yes.
Okay.
Bill is a tribute to himself. He does his own music. Mudd, in his own right, he's a great vocalist.
Does he sound like your dad?
He's exactly like my dad.
Okay.
Looks
you
like
guys all look like him. You do. If you look at your pictures, you all can tell you're Muddy Waters' sons.
Oh, I think we resemble him all in different stages, different ages of his life.
Yeah. I saw a picture. Do you remember that, Connie? She sent me a picture. I saw it on Facebook, and I says, oh, that's a great picture of Joseph. And she goes, that's Muddy. I was going to post it and say, here, this guy's going to be on my show. And she's like, no, that's Muddy.
No, but that one he does, he resembles him a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Both of my
definitely.
Brothers. Definitely.
So,
and I was saying, Mudd does his own music. Well, he does a lot of my dad's songs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just, and it's just the resemblance, the way he makes the facial expressions just got him down.
Wow. We're going to play another that we couldn't leave without playing this one. And we're going to be back one more time with Joseph Morganfield and say goodnight. But right now, it's that mannish boy, Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right this morning. Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of 5, my mother found to be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, I made 21. I want you to believe me, honey, we're having lots of fun. I'm a man.
Yeah!
I spell him H-I-N, that rather than main, no B, oh child, Y, that spell managed boy, but a main, I'm a full grown man. I'm a man, I'm a rolling stone. I'm a man, I'm a hoochie coochie man. Set
sitting on the outside, just me and my mate. I made the moon come up 2 hours late. Wasn't that a man? I spell him H-I-N. That rubber than man. No B. Oh, child. Why? That spell managed boy. I'm a man. I'm a full grown man. I'm a man. I'm a rolling stone. I'm a man. Full grown man. Oh well. Oh well.
Oh well. No B. Managed boy.
I didn't know you sang the blues, Tom.
My life is the blues, Joseph. We are having a great time here again, celebrating the musical legacy of Muddy Waters, hearing some great stories about the family and the fact that his gene is carried on in his two sons at play and in Joseph, who is behind the scenes keeping the Chicago blues scene alive. You have a new book you're working on.
That's
and
correct.
We don't have a set title or a set target or anything. It's a work in progress.
That is correct.
All right.
And once again, Lynn Overweiss is helping me. She's my co-author, and hopefully the more we get down the road, we'll let you know.
Okay. Is there a GoFundMe or some way that the fans can help you with this?
We haven't crossed that bridge yet, Tom.
Okay.
But like right now, we're just trying to put the book together itself.
It's going to be a very exciting book. Get all these stories from your past.
Artists, and, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. When my dad's musician, Bob Magoli,
mm-hmm.
He offered to help us also. So
now, the gist of the book, it's not just a history book about who your dad was and the details. It's about the man. It's about the spirit of the music as well, correct?
That is correct. It's like behind the scenes, behind you know, off stage, not in the dressing room. It's at home Saturday mornings
mm-hmm.
or Sunday afternoons. Big Cubs fan, too.
Was he really? Yes, he'd be happy right now.
Yes, he would be.
Was he, was he the kind of guy that would come down on Sunday morning in his pajamas and, like, make eggs for you guys?
Oh, my dad was an excellent chef. He could cook anything.
Whoa.
Yeah, he did most of the cooking when he was home.
Really?
Yes, he would sit at the table.
Yeah, you see people and you think, what are they really like?
I mean,
a couple weeks ago we had Donnie Sumner from J.D. Sumner and Stamps Quartet that used to sing with Elvis. And Donnie lived at Graceland. He was telling us a story. He said, tell me something that people don't know. You know, something that you were privy to. And he told a story about walking in this room and Elvis was laying on the floor with his little girl, Lisa Marie, and they were cutting out paper dolls with those cheap 27-cent scissors with the rounded edges and the plastic handles. And he said he wasn't anybody. He was daddy at that moment.
And he says Elvis has, like, gold plate scissors and he wasn't even using those scissors.
Yeah, wasn't using those. So I'm trying to picture Muddy coming down, you know, shuffling through the mm-hmm. kitchen and, you know, greasing up a pan and cooking
it
breakfast.
First of all, he used to dress. Even when he wasn't performing,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he was always clean.
Okay.
Yes. And his routine was to sit at the kitchen table. He would get a bottle of champagne. And then he had this card game. It was called Casino. He would play all the time.
Okay.
Tell me that game. You guys familiar with Casino?
I'm not. Okay.
I'm not. I've heard of it, but I don't know how to play
it. It's an excellent game once you get to learn it, get the hang of it.
Okay.
But that was it. And then he'd start cooking. Yeah. And wow. Like I said, he could cook soul food. Had this famous wine chicken he would make.
And again, I was telling you off air when that moment that I had, that moment literally, because I got kicked out of my own dressing room by Scott Cameron, Muddy was sitting backstage and he had a little bottle and he said it was homemade cherry wine and he invited me to have a glass of wine.
Okay.
And it was the only time ever that he got me drinking cherry wine because I never did get to drink it really, but I went home and bought some because it's like, damn it, I'm going to have some cherry wine.
Well, right.
But did he like wine? Was wine his
that
thing?
That was very rare.
Okay.
I've very rarely seen him drink wine before.
Okay.
Usually it was either Piper's or Mum's champagne.
Okay. Because I remember him saying that somebody made it for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was my wife made it or my...
I think that was like a rare occasion.
Somebody made him cherry wine and he had a bottle backstage and it wasn't even opened. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and drink this by myself. Sit down with me and talk. He was so nice.
But his... Alcohol of choice was champagne.
Champagne.
Yeah. All right. Moms of pipers back in the day.
Is there a website or any way we can keep up with you?
Actually, we are in the process of building a new website.
Okay. And it will be?
I'm not sure when it's going to be running. Okay. My sister Mercy will keep me informed. But like we had did everything from scratch. Everything that was connected, we erased, and we're starting everything as far as foundations, websites, everything.
All right. Joseph, thank you for joining us.
Our pleasure was mine. Thank you for having me.
When the book is done, you're coming back.
I will be back.
All right. Leaving you now with a final Muddy song. I don't know if we're going to get through it all, but we are going to play it because you can't get no grinding.
In the sack. I get it to the meal, had to bring it right back. What's the matter with the meal?
It's not broke down.
What's the matter with the meal?
It's not broke down.
Can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal. Some people said that a preacher won't steal. I got one in my cornfield. What's the matter with the meal?
It's not broke down.
What's the matter with the meal?
It's not broke down.
I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal. Oh, grind, grind. And one had a peck. The other one had the cornfield around his neck. What's the matter with the meal?
Done broke down.
What's the matter with the meal?
Done broke down.
I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal.
Down.
I can't get no grinding. Tell me what's the matter with the meal.